Good morning to the church, to the body of Christ, right? Thank you for having me here to speak with you guys and just to be a part of this body. You guys are such a loving congregation, always so welcoming to myself every time I visit, and anyone that visits truly. So I really appreciate it from the depths of my heart. But I just want to read from Psalm 27 today, and we'll probably jump to a couple places. I don't plan on being long, but we'll jump to a couple different verses. But we can start at Psalm 27. And as you turn there, I'll just say a prayer. We thank you, Father God. We bless you for this day, Father. We thank you that you're on the throne and that you'll always be on the throne, Father God. We thank you that by grace through faith we are saved, Father God. We thank you that you call us righteous, you deem us righteous, and we are justified because of your righteousness, Father God. Thank you for this beautiful congregation, Father God, a loving ministry that makes a huge impact here in Culpeper, Father God. Continue to bless them, Father God, according to your will. Continue to put this church, elevate this church, Father, continually. And just bless these words, Father God, for the next couple of minutes. And bless us with ears to hear, Father God, a heart to receive what the Spirit has to tell us today. In your Son's name we pray, amen. And so here we have David, and I'm sure we all know David here. But he was a man who we can say made maybe many mistakes, but he also did so many great battles for the Lord. He was a man who was completely confident in God, but at the same time, he was a man who completely failed outside of God. And in Psalm 27, we see both sides of this David. And we can liken it to our own lives, because some days we start our day and we start on top of the world. We're in heaven. We're on the throne sitting right next to God, it feels like. But by the time I'm laying my head to bed, I feel just the opposite. Or maybe vice versa. I wake up, I'm not on the throne. I'm the worst sinner on the planet, or so I feel like it. And then before I go to bed, I'm on the throne with God. And we can see this in David's life from Psalm 27. And we can just begin to read it. We might just read through the whole psalm. But he begins with, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in this tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." And here in these first six verses, we see an amazing confidence inside David. We see him saying, even if the wicked surrounds me, even if my head I can barely see over, I will not fear. I will remain confident in God. But then there's a small change in his tone of voice, we can say. There's a small change in his mentality. He says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me." It almost seems like the confidence went away. It almost seemed like, let's say he wrote this psalm in the same day, and maybe he started to falter a little bit. Condemnation started to settle in. Because when we think about it, David was a man just like you and I. When I say man, I mean mankind. He was a human being. He had the Holy Spirit of God, but he was a human being just like you and I. Sometimes we read the Word of God and we think about the disciples. We think about all these amazing characters who are very real in the Bible. And the thing is, they were humans just like us. They struggled with the same things as we did, maybe to a different level as well. But there are humans just like us, and David's encouraging us, and he's showing us how human he is. Yes, he fought many of great battles for Jesus, for God, but he also struggled a lot. And he's encouraged us to hold on to the faith. And he continues, he says, "Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not unto the will of mine enemies, for false witness are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And he ends it with a very encouraging word, and it says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And this psalm reminds me of Romans 7. It's the battle that Paul is suffering with. He says, "The things I would not do, I do not wish to do, I do. The things that I don't wish to do, those things I do do." And he's speaking about a struggling sin, maybe. Maybe he's doubting his faith. We don't know what Paul's struggling with. But he's struggling just like how you and I struggle. And the thing is, David, in 1 Samuel 30, it says David encouraged himself in the Lord. And if you guys want, we can actually turn there. 1 Samuel chapter 30. But this was him after losing a great battle. Everything was taken from him. All his spoil was gone. His two wives were gone. He had nothing, and he was as bad can be. And we can just read from verse 6, and it says, "And David was greatly distressed, for this people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech said, Abimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David." And here, this is what amazes me, what David did. We see in verse 6, he encouraged himself in the Lord. How? The question arises, how can I encourage myself in the Lord? What more encouragement can I receive but hearing a word from God himself? That's what builds our confidence in God. And here David goes by faith, and it says, "And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." David encouraged himself in the Lord by getting a word from God. And it's the words of God that we find encouragement in. It's the words of truth that will help us continue in this life when all we're facing is wave after wave, when the furnace is getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And just when we reach that point where we think we're going to break, just when we're at the breaking point and we do not know what to do, that's when God will come in and increase the capacity. But it takes faith to get there. It takes me believing every truth that the Word of God says. It takes me believing Romans 8, chapter 1, there is no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. And the thing about condemnation is the number one stopper for our advancement with God. It's the number one thing that stops them from excelling in the Spirit of God. Because confidence in God is how we continue to do His will. If I'm living in condemnation, then that means I'm not thinking about how good God is. I'm thinking about how bad I am. And the thing is about a visitation from God, it creates a confidence in us. How do I get the visitation from God but in His Word? If I just inquire of Him by faith, if I just cry out, "Lord, help me. I don't even believe it, Lord, but I believe it, so help me. I believe, but help my unbelief." And there's so many scriptures that can show us these words of truth. And we read it throughout the whole Bible. And this battle is do we struggle with liberty, or do we struggle with bondage, or do we have liberty? Do I choose to have bondage, or do I choose to live in the freedom that's in Christ? And liberty, like when I think of liberty, I think of maybe, what is that called? The Constitution. I can't believe I forgot what it's called. So it's like set standards that's like, oh, like these are your freedoms of the people of America. These are our rights. This is the liberty that we have. And I think, what is there, 70-something of them? I'm not sure. I'm not big on history. Sorry. But I think of the Constitution when I think of liberty. America has a lot of liberty. We're a lot more free than any other countries, and that's a blessing from God. And then this word bondage, the only thing I can think of is work. And I don't mean it in a bad sense, because obviously we need to work. We have a family to feed, and we have a ministry, hopefully, that God will provide us through our job. So bondage, it's like we're required maybe a 40-hour work week. We're required to succeed this workload of 10 papers, or maybe it's 10 work hours in a day. Whatever it may be, we can't leave until the workload is done. In a sense, it's a bond. We're bonded to that. We're not free from that. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing, but that's what bondage can be like, something we can't get out of. And that's what condemnation is. It's bondage. I can't get out of my own mind. I can't think greater things with God. I'm just bound to this one thought. Or why not take the thought captive? Why not get the projection that's coming from Satan and say, I know this is the projection. I know it's not truth. How can we discern whether something's truth or not? Do I get anxious when I think about this? Do I have no peace? Is my joy robbed of me when I have this thought? But freedom says there's joy. Freedom says there's love. Freedom has peace in it. Those are the thoughts that God wants us to captivate and have in our hearts. Those are the thoughts in Psalm 119, 11 that we hide in our heart that we might not sin against God. That's how we can maintain the faith and live in freedom, is through the word of God. And there's a couple of scriptures where we can say Colossians 3:3, we are hidden in Christ. All I have to do is believe I'm hidden in Christ. I don't feel hidden in Christ. I feel the projections coming in. I'm thinking about my sin. I'm thinking about this or that. I'm overwhelmed with work. But the truth is I'm hidden in Christ with God. And that's the truth of the word. We have Colossians 3:10. We put on the new man. We put on the new man. We're a new creation. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I now live. Yet, not I in the flesh, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself up for me. By the faith of the Son of God. It's not even my own faith. It's God's faith that he imparts to me. If God requires something of anyone, of any of us in this room, believe he will provide what's needed. If God's requiring a love for another person, believe he's going to provide you with that love for the person. There's no need for us to strive. There's no need for us to strive to achieve something for God. Like in John 13:3, the disciple asked Jesus, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? He said, no, let me wash your feet. And all Jesus wanted him to do was receive from him. All he wanted him to do was receive the word of truth. All he wanted him to do was receive the love of Christ. He said, if I don't do this, you have no part in me. He said, I understand you just want to serve me out of love, but I want to serve you. Because that's the God we serve, a God that just wants to endlessly serve us. Yes, he's God Almighty. There's no doubt about that. But honestly, I believe God wants us to see him as a father. Yes, God Almighty, that's one thing we have amazing knowledge of. But I think God likes it better when we think of him as a father. So when we can come to him, we don't want to tell anyone else any of our secrets. We want to tell no one, but we can tell them to God. We can tell him of our struggles. We can tell him of our successes. We can tell him these things, and he gets excited for us because he knows we get excited when we speak to him. So here he is, do thou wash my feet? He wasn't allowing the word of God to sanctify him. In John 17:17, it says, we can turn there. Let's turn to John 17:17. I remember this scripture because there was a list of, I think, maybe like a dozen Bible verses we had to memorize for one of my classes at the school. And this was one. And I'd really been meditating on it recently. But it reads, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctification is a cleansing. It's a purifying. Sanctify them through thy truth. The only truth that's in this world is the Word of God. No truth can come from man. Any truth that comes out the mouth of a man, it's from the Bible. But it says, sanctify them from thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Here Jesus was trying to wash his feet, and he wasn't allowing him to receive. He was displaying John 17:17. He wanted to cleanse his feet. With the washing of the word, can we be cleansed? That's our transformed way of thinking. In Romans 12:2, we're not conforming to the patterns of this world. We're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the only way our mind is renewed is through the Word of God. The Word of God helps us. The Word of God is living and it's breathing inside of us. So by faith we live, we move, and we have our being. By faith we open up the book. Maybe I'm not receiving anything, but I'll continue to read because I know there's a spirit inside me that's receiving something. My flesh isn't receiving nothing. Flesh profits nothing from the Bible. But the Spirit of God, that does profit. That profits very, very much. And another scripture we can turn to that speaks of the words of truth is Philippians 4:8. And this is what the words of truth can do to our lives. This is what the words of truth impart unto us. And it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Here Paul is telling us, he's giving us a list of things we can think upon because he knows the truth of it. He knows if I can meditate on the Word of God, then my mind can be renewed. He knows if I can meditate on the Word of God, I can have a life and live in liberty and not live in bondage to the world, not live in bondage to my old sin nature, not live in bondage to a law. Because Christ came to fulfill the law. Now all we live by is grace. It's by grace through faith we are saved. So any truth that God has spoken to you, just meditate on that. Believe every single thing that God says about you because it's true. Every single word he says, even if you don't believe it, if God said it, your only job is to believe by faith. God says something to me, my only job is to believe by faith. I don't even see it in my life, Father. I can't see it. It's impossible. But I know he's saying it. So all I have to do is believe. And in that belief, the blood of Christ is powerful. The blood of Christ is what cleansed all of us from unrighteousness. The blood of Christ is, in a sense, what can be running through our veins now. Speaking for anyone who is a believer in Christ here, of course, I'm sure we all are. But the blood of Christ is powerful, and it's more than able. It's more than able, and it speaks a better word. It speaks a much better word than what Satan can ever say. And when we live our life with this truth, we're living on a firm foundation that cannot be shaken. We're living life when the storm will rage against us. Because as servants of God, of course we're going to have hardship. Maybe some more than others it feels like. But we all suffer to some sort of capacity. And God knows each struggle that we have. We just are honest with him. But it says in Matthew, you guys don't have to turn there, but I just want to read this to you. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. I mean, I feel like that right now. I feel like there's wind raging against my house. I can feel the wind raging against this building, right? But that's okay, because the storms will come. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, oh, if you're suffering, it's not a good thing. Everywhere in the Word of God does it say, suffering brings amazing things. In 1 Peter 1:6, it creates the nature of God inside of me. I'm not going to stand here and ask God to not cause me to suffer more. I won't do that. But if that's the season that we're in right now, a season of suffering, that's okay. I just have to believe God is on the throne still. I don't feel it. By no means do I feel like God's on the throne, but I can believe it. That's what courage is, right? Courage is, I know I can't accomplish this. I know I can't climb 200 feet in the air on an extension ladder. But courage says, I believe I could, so I'm going to do it anyway. You do it, you come back down, you say, wow, I just did that. Sometimes God asks us to climb a 200-foot extension ladder, and that's scary when the wind's blowing. But courage says, I know I can't do it, but I believe I could. And maybe if I can end with this, with the definition of courage, just so we can walk in this confidence. And the Word of God creates courage in our hearts. Courage to believe everything that God says about me and everyone in this world. But this is a definition of courage. It says, bravery, the quality of mind which enables men to encounter danger and difficulties with firmness or without fear or depression of spirit. It's valor, boldness, resolution. It is a constituent part of fortitude. But fortitude implies patience to bear continued suffering. It's boldness. It's adventurous. And God wants to take you on an adventure. And your only job is to believe. But He wants to take every person here on an adventure. And it's like a roller coaster. Your heart's beating very fast before you jump on it. Maybe you don't want to go on it. But you know it's going to be fun if you do. But it's so scary to go on. And that's what walking with God is like. It's like a big roller coaster that doesn't end until we reach glory. And that's one place I can guarantee, and God Himself guarantees, that we'll be there as believers in His Son. So why not hop on the roller coaster? Have the heart pumping. Maybe we pass out, but we get back up. But it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And we can have courage and bravery in Christ because we are all new creations. And we have the love of God reigning in our hearts. And in Christ we live, we move, and we have our being. Amen.